You start. We're ready to go.
Thank you. This meeting is called to order. And today we will have, let's see, I can do it. We have Beth Cuevas, we have Molly Poe, we have Lynn, and we have Joe Blankenship and myself, Angela Lannon. So we have a quorum.
And no guests.
So do we have any amendments to the agenda?
So I would like for us to talk about the governor's mask mandate.
Where do you suggest we place that, Erin?
Can we put that as the last item under, let's go ahead and put it under old business since it's kind of a revisitation of something. So we'll do that as section 7, item G.
Are there any other changes? If not, I will entertain a motion to approve the agenda.
I so move.
I have a motion I have a motion. Do I have a second?
A second.
Lynn seconds. All in favor? This voice vote, aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you very much. Looking around, I do not see that anyone that is in this meeting is a public participant, although provision has been made for it by having laptops available in the library for anyone that wants to attend from the public. That being said, then let's move on to our item on the Y CapEx project.
Do we need to approve the minutes first?
We did.
Oh, we did?
No, I'm sorry. No, we approved the agenda. You're absolutely right. Let's back up. And the minutes for May were sent out to you. For May and for the July meetings were sent out to you. Do I have a motion to approve those minutes?
I so move.
Lynn moves. Do I have a second?
Second.
Beth seconds. All in favor, say aye, please.
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you very much. Now we can talk about the why. Erin, I'll turn it over to you.
Okay. So I sent out some very brief information included in your packet, just letting you know that I had spoken with Mr. David. Can you hear me now? With Mr. David before, between the meetings. He did price out, as we had asked him to, the roughly 1,400 square foot building that we looked at the July meeting, which is getting priced out at around $325,000. If we were to increase the size, you know, we were gonna add 4 feet of width potentially. If we were to do that, that would increase the cost, the construction cost, to $355,000. So I wanted to share that information with you. And kind of going with that, I indicated to David that I felt the board would probably prefer to stick with the closer to 1,400 square foot building. So I think that's
Erin, what was the reason for wanting to change the size? I wasn't at that meeting. I'm sorry.
We had talked about just getting some more floor space, particularly in the meeting room, so that one or two more people could be shoehorned in there if we needed to.
Mm-hmm. Well, the only thing
since it's a mobile unit, then if we're transporting one, why not look at the cost of doing two and putting them together? You know, they're modular units.
Well, it is going to be two units together. It's just if we do the wider one, then we've got to get special permits because of the wide load on each individual unit.
Well, David, all I'm thinking is we've been fooling with this for 10 years now. If we want it bigger, now's the time to do it because later it's going to be too late. But so if we want to spend that extra $25,000 or $30,000 is it worth it? Now would be the time to do it.
I am fine with going bigger, knowing how strongly you guys felt about sticking to the budget we had. That $325,000 is pretty darn close to the budget we made out, even though we made that budget a few years ago now. So that's why I told them to try and, you know, start running with that. But you're right. If we want to change it, now's the time for you guys to tell us before he goes any farther.
That's about 10% increase. You know, I'd rather look at it closely than to regret not having that extra 4 feet.
Okay.
Well, Erin, you're the one that uses the buildings and knows more about capacity and function. What do you think?
If y'all are okay with increasing the budget, because not only would the cost of construction increase, but everything else kind of follows with it. You've got more place to furnish and to maintain. Utilities are going to go up a little bit too, that sort of thing. But if y'all are okay with increasing the budget, then I'm all for a bigger building.
Oh, I agree with what's been said. But my question would be, thinking of the building that was there previously, is there a need to do a bigger build?
Well, my observation has been that as this isn't just about books. Libraries have been more about providing places to share information for people to be able to meet. And the Y has nothing of that sort right now. So that's where it is appealing that for 10% more, we could provide a better meeting room. I mean, the whole question came when we said, well, what would it take to bump out that meeting room? And there really wasn't any more space available within that configuration. And that's why we said, well, why don't you look and see what it takes to do a double wide? Basically, what we're talking about is a double wide, or, you know, just multiplying the dimension. But that's why it's more about meeting space.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be more of a demand for people.
Well, that makes the building more versatile, though, for the community. If you have adequate space.
Right.
I just would hate for us to regret it in 10 years saying, why didn't we make it a little bigger?
Or for the public to be saying, what was that board thinking?
Okay, so let me try to do a little math here. Our overall budget for the project was $421,000. I'm going to switch my screen for a minute. I hope I don't lose y'all.
I'm sorry, say that again, please.
I'm going to switch my screen for a minute and look for a document. I hope I don't lose y'all.
No, I was asking what the overall budget was.
Oh, $421,000.
Erin, I don't see necessarily that the additional space would mean we'd have to have extra fixtures. It probably would increase utilities a little bit, but I don't know that it would be huge. Because if you're just having more open floor space, it's not like you have to put chairs there or you have to put shelves there. But I don't know realistically what the additional cost would be.
Okay. Do y'all want to, since I don't have all of that in front of me right now, do y'all want to go ahead and say move forward with the larger square footage and we will adjust the budget as needed, if needed?
That sounds really good.
Say that again, Molly.
That sounds really good. Just what you said.
So that's your motion, Molly?
No, that's not my motion, but what she said was good.
Erin, this has got to be a new first for you, that we're actually talking about spending more money than you envisioned.
But not a whole lot.
No.
Well, I mean, we need to put a cap on it. We're not talking boundless money here.
Right.
But if we were at 421,000 for the time being, do we want to say 475 is our max?
Well, you only did 10% for the building. Can't you do 10% for the overall?
Works for me. David, does that make sense?
Yes. Yes, it does. You would be adding the cost of construction. You would be adding, because the general contractor is going to oversee the project, so the building would be an extra so many dollars. The contractor's markup would be an extra so many dollars. Architect fees would go up. The point of making the meeting room bigger was to seat more people, so you'd need more chairs. And then as more people come into the building, you'd need bigger air conditioning systems, and which would mean your utility costs would go up and such. So,
okay.
But yeah, it would fit more people in the meeting room, which was the general conversation at the time.
Okay, so if we wanted to look at just adding 10% to the overall, that puts us at 463,100.
I'll entertain a motion to increase the budget to $465,000.
I so move.
I have a motion to increase the budget to 465. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Molly seconds. Pause, take a deep breath. All in favor? Say aye.
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 Opposed? Thank you.
Okay. So, David, I hope we did not just mess up everything you sent me to look at today.
In specific, but not in general.
Not hey, in general. He just found out he's making more money.
Go to Sonic tonight.
What else do you have for us in this regard, Erin?
David, did you want to talk about those items that you sent over, those papers?
Sure, you want to pull them up?
Let me give that a shot here. All right, tell me what you guys see.
There we go.
Okay, good.
Okay. Next picture. Good. Next one, there we go. We can go to the next one.
Next one.
Mm-hmm. So then we have the actual property. And you can see we've situated the library, I guess, toward the west side. The parking would be gravel parking like you talked about. In the project includes a sign, a marquee sign on the road. So people driving down Highway 26 will know there's a library. Also included is a concrete driveway culvert where the parking touches Highway 26. And not all has to meet DOT specifications because it's a state highway. There will be a book drop outside as well. So you can go to the next one. Here we go. So in general, just like we had last time. Oh, up a little bit.
Sorry.
On the floor plan, we had the meeting room, the two restrooms, the big, the library, stack room, and a work room toward the back of the building. We have a separate entrance to the meeting room so it could be used when the rest of the library was closed. We also have that back corridor, so the restrooms would be accessible from the meeting room, and you could still close off and lock the rest of the library.
So the meeting room is that one at the top of the screen?
Yes,
and
ma'am.
Okay, and it has a hall. All right.
Yes, ma'am.
So what about is the square footage of that room or the dimensions?
It was about 18 by 12.
Okay. So now it'll be 18 by 16?
It'll be 18 by 14.
Oh, so we'll have 2 feet we'll gain.
Yeah, because of how the buildings are split, they're split down the middle. And because we have to add some square footage, so it won't necessarily be all of the 4 feet into the meeting room.
Okay. And what is the smaller room that's at the bottom of our screen? Is that, what is that?
Workroom, office for the staff.
Okay. And the front porch has a ramp and 2 doors, and is it covered?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Good. That looks nice.
I've got a question. You know, we talked about adding four feet, and I get that we've got the 4 extra feet, but it's not all in the meeting room, and that was the reason. I understand that it's 2 pieces. I understand that. But is everybody seeing that? We only ended up with 2 extra feet. Is that still worth a 10% increase in budget?
I have the same question.
Yeah, it's possible the whole 4 feet could be in there. We just don't know. We have to go back to the building manufacturer and look at what's possible. In our preliminary conversations, that's where we had it, just to make sure the buildings can be built correctly.
Okay. If we, for whatever reason, can't put that whole 4 feet into the meeting room side, could we then change the length dimension a little bit to make up for it? Of the room, not the building.
By bumping out the meeting room.
Yeah, yes. Longer. Right. Yeah. So the meeting room square footage would still increase to the amount we're talking about.
Okay.
But then the main room would have a little odd configuration, but it would still be bigger than it was.
Right.
Okay, we'll go to the next problem.
Okay.
And there we go. So that's kind of how we envision the building to look from the exterior. It's the side facing away from the road, the side facing to the road, and then go down a little bit. And then that would be the side when you come into the property and look, that's what you would see from the front entry. And as you can see, the covering over the porch, and then the ramp going to the left.
So that this part right here, the cover does come out to cover the ramp.
No, the ramp is not covered, just the front porch.
Oh.
So why did we decide to have 2 doors?
One goes into the meeting room and one goes into the library.
Okay.
Yeah.
And we talked about the interior door. That little hallway between the meeting room and the bathrooms, that door could be closed and locked.
Right.
And just have a meeting at night, you know.
Gives it flexibility.
Right.
Yes. Okay, let's see what do we got next. This is just a building section cut through. Just so we can get an idea of construction of a building and such. So it's just part of our drawing package.
So do I see the, do we, is that just one window or is that
four? The windows aren't, the windows aren't fully developed yet in the building.
Okay.
We're going to work with the manufacturer to see what we can do. We're also going to work with placement of bookshelves and furniture, because we want to not, we want to lessen the impact we have on the interior layout. You know, if we had a whole wall of windows, we wouldn't be able to put wall shelves against the outside walls. But we do need windows to bring natural lighting. We just have to be conscientious that of what impact we're having on the inside and the layout. Yeah. Well, what do we have next, Aaron? This will just be where we add in the ceiling plan. We'll develop this more when we make the building larger. Okay. So, and that's kind of where we are. You can kind of see right here on the windows we have. We have two windows in the workroom. We have 1, 2, 3, 4 windows in the library area, one in the meeting room.
It's looking good to me.
So as long as we end up getting the additional square footage in the meeting room that we wanted, whether it's long and skinny or square, that would be a consideration if we couldn't get it moving forward.
Yes. All right.
I like where we're headed with this. I think it's very much on track with what we had wanted all along. And it looks like the money's pretty well in line with what we had thought, especially considering we made that budget however many years ago. so I think we're on point.
Okay.
We're going to, our next step is going to be to take the building and massage the sides to what we agreed to today. And then we'll send a revised version just so we y'all can look at it and say, yeah, we are, I want to at all times be transparent and make sure that you all know that we're doing what you want us to as best we can. So I'll make those changes and send those in just to make sure we stay on the same page.
Okay. Since we definitely don't want to wait until our next real board meeting to move forward beyond that step, do y'all want the board, do you want to just say, Lynn, since it's your area, and me, and if one other wants to join, and we'll kind of go with that and guide that along until we get to the next point where the whole board needs to come together?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
I'd like to be part of
that. Sounds good.
Okay.
So I'll put Lynn and Angela. Okay. Well, then when you send that over, David, I will share it with Lynn and Angela, and we'll talk about it, make sure it's what we want, decide what we do want if it's not, and get back in touch and keep going from there.
Okay. Sounds awesome.
Good deal.
Any more questions for me while I'm here? No. All right.
Thank you.
Thank you. Y'all have a great evening.
Thank you.
Bye.
Bye.
Bye, David.
Thank you. Okay, moving on, we move to item 6, new business. And we have the review of the annual of the 2020 audit.
Right. You got a copy of that, the nice, pretty bound copy with your packet, and feel free to go through that. If you have questions, I will try to answer them, even though this is not my strongest area to get in detail. And of course, I can always have either Randy, our CPA, or our auditor, Christy, attend our next meeting if you want to get more details from them. The sweet and short version is there were no findings against us this year. Haven't been for a few years. So we're rocking right along. We're running in the black, which is always a good thing. So we're doing well as far as the auditors are concerned.
That's good news.
A motion to accept this, or was this just for our review?
It's just for review.
Okay.
Were there any questions concerning the audit after having looked at it? Looked pretty clean to me.
But I asked Angela, who's my financial consultant. She explained it to me, so I was good.
And I totally confused her.
I don't understand accounting principles, so if she's good with it, I'm good.
Well, the whole thing was that some of the things are there. They're throwing out their little caveats, and they can be confusing. Okay, going on to item 7, old business. MCAL, Singer, etc. What have you got, Erin?
Okay, so just what was outlined in the packet I sent you, really. So in case you have forgotten, last November, I think it was, I came to the board. Mr. Mike had approached me to see if I would be the Beauregard kind of point person for a proposal they were doing, the police jury was doing with the Imperial Calcasieu Regional Planning District, shortened to MCAL, so that's who I'm talking about. And their goal was to put in an application for funding to construct a multi-agency facility somewhere in rural Beauregard Parish that could then later be duplicated elsewhere in the parish as needed. So that project it's come a long way. They're still working really hard on it. We've got multiple agencies that are interested in participating. We are in the process of getting a letter together, kind of a letter of intent or a letter of participation for those agencies to sign as kind of proof that, yeah, we are interested and we're wanting to invest in some way, shape, or form with this project. So they're working on that. It looks like, I think USDA is who I was told is interested in doing some funding for this project. So things are rocking right along on their end. They're looking at using the land that we just bought in Singer as this first location. They are looking at building kind of around that cinder block building that we're trying to move into so that however long their construction takes, we would be able to serve the public out of our building until they're done. And then we could move into that larger facility when that time comes. So they're working with us to try and let us continue serving in that location for as long as we can. So I think that's really good. Still a long way to go on that project. I feel like I'm in the know and I'm not in the know because I'm only involved in certain parts of this project. So I can't really tell you a whole lot more detail than that. But that's where that project is. Now, as far as that building I was talking about that we're trying to move into, I haven't had any movement since our July meeting on that. So really, we're still at the point where we did get the building layout, the as-is drawing done, and we are marking that up to make sure that we can meet ADA requirements and public use codes and all that good stuff. Once we're done marking that up, the state fire marshal's office has to approve that. And whenever I've got fire marshal approval, then we're going to go out for, put out an RFP, a request for proposals for contractors from the area to come and actually make those changes that we needed so we can get in there and get serving. We are still open at our current location while all of this is going on. So we are still serving the Singer area, but we're excited to get into a new building. It's just taking all the steps we have to take.
Well, I'm being I'm being quizzed quite often on when are we going to move in? I'm like, okay, we're waiting on the fire marshal. So that's the best answer I know to give them.
It's the only answer I have too. I can't even pinpoint a month at this point that I know when we're going to be in there. The sooner the better is as far as I'm concerned.
So the hang up is the fire marshal?
The hang up is getting the stuff to the fire marshal and then getting approval. He doesn't even have those drawings yet. They're still with me. We're still trying to make sure that we're getting, of course, ADA stuff, but that building hasn't been used as a quote public use building because apparently churches are exempt from that somehow. In I don't know how long. So we've got to make sure that we meet all of those codes as well. The good news is when I spoke to someone over at the police jury, earlier in the process to try and find out, you know, what kind of permits do we need whenever we get ready and all that sort of stuff. She did say that they tend to be of the opinion that as long as the state fire marshal is okay with it, they don't come down heavy on anything after that. So they kind of go with the state fire marshal's office. So I'm hopeful that that will make things a little easier.
Okay.
Okay, so that's item A. Item B, FEMA?
So I included some information in your packet about that. This is still referring back to the damages we had from Laura. So the way they have the FEMA PA, FEMA Public Assistance, is the side we're working with since we are a public agency. The way they have kind of broken out our different projects is that there is a project for the damages we had at the DeRitter building. There's a project for the damages we had at the Singer building. And then they have separated the emergency protective measures projects into two separate projects because there is a time frame, like 30 days after the storm hit, where eligible costs, expenses can be reimbursed 100%. And outside of that time frame, it's at a lower percentage of reimbursement. So we're spending lots of attention going through, providing them the documents they need and just working with them. It feels like we're getting closer to the end, but I don't know when the end will be as far as working with FEMA goes on this. The DeRitter branch in particular seems really close to being done. We're just going back and forth with FEMA's insurance guy and trying to iron out the details of what he thinks our insurance is doing versus what they're actually doing. Because of course FEMA won't pay you for something they think insurance should be paying. So we're kind of fighting that fight right now on our biggest project, which was the DeRitter project. But we're still fighting.
Okay, moving on to item C, the resolution to request police jury to prepare, to call the tax election.
Right. So this one, I sent a copy of the proposed resolution. If y'all need to make changes or something, of course, we can talk about that and look at doing that. But this is basically a resolution of us asking the police jury to call the election so that we can renew our ad valorem tax. When we met in, I think it was our February meeting, we talked about wanting to do that next spring. So the date I have in here is for the general municipal election, which is currently scheduled for April 30th of next year. I used the amount of 7.85 mils. That's the amount that we received this year. And I used a 10-year span because that's what we have historically used. There's nothing that says if 5 years down the road our 7.85 mils isn't letting us keep up with what we need to keep up. If we need more funding than that, there's nothing that says we can't go out and ask for an additional ad valorem tax. But I really think in this climate, people do not want to increase tax. So I don't think asking for anything more than what we have been getting is a smart move. So that's where I got that number from.
And so when we talk about it to the public, we can say it's basically a renewal of what we've already been getting.
Yeah.
To keep operations.
Okay.
But if we do this, we not only need a motion and a second and a vote, we also, I need to know each individual person's vote, whether that's yes, no, or abstain, so that we can record it for the resolution.
Okay. So what we're saying is we'll have a roll call vote. I guess we do need a motion to put forth this resolution.
Make that motion.
Joe moves that we put forth the resolution as outlined in item C of our agenda for to the police jury. Do I have a second?
I second.
And Beth seconds. And I'll start with the vote. Joe?
Yes.
Lynn?
Yes.
Let's see who else is here. Beth?
Yes.
Molly?
Yes.
Okay, the ayes have it.
So Erin, have you ever had it be not pass or be close to not passing? And what's the plan for promoting this?
So as my history lesson tells me that it has not passed once, and it was by one vote.
Oh, wow.
Now, I don't remember how long ago that was. It was before I was around. But as far as I know, that's the only time the library tax has not passed in Beauregard. There is a law or mandate, I forget which, that says if you put a proposal like this to the public, you can't put it to the public again for at least 6 months. So by doing this in April, which is then it would be what, November or later, that we would be able to go back to the polls if necessary. What's good about the way we're timing this is 2022 is a funded year. It's our last funded year on the current ad valorem tax. We'll get that 2022 money at the beginning of 2023. So if we need to wait until early 2023 to go back to the polls, we're funded for that year. But I'm hoping that that, of course, is not necessary. Now, as far as promoting it, we've got two big things coming up. We are about to unveil a new logo, and next year is our 75th anniversary. December of 2022 is our 75th anniversary. So, and we kind of want to do a year-long celebration of that anniversary. So not only will we be promoting the library through that avenue of promotion, it's also, I guess subconsciously is probably the wrong word, but it's the closest one I can get, also getting the message out of what the library does for the community, which I think is a good thing to be doing regardless of what time of year it is or where you are in the election cycle. But it kind of leans towards a positive result as far as the ad valorem tax election goes.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It would probably be important to have more information about what the library does for people. And I know there are probably a lot of people that don't use the library and they don't think it's worth anything, you know, so it would be a way to come up with a means for how the library can help everybody. And I'm not sure how that'd be. I know this is kind of back to what we talked about, some of that goal setting and planning meeting that we went to, you know, maybe looking back at some of those.
Yeah.
I think we've done a pretty good job. Beth, you can chime in with me. We're Beth and I are on the 75th anniversary committee with several very enthusiastic employees. And I think the committee is doing a good job of having things going on throughout the year, but very conscious of the fact that election's coming up and making sure we're making a lot of noise before that election so that they can see that things are going on. And part of our strategic plan, as you recall, is that we try to even reach people that we normally don't reach.
Right.
And that talks to those people that think the library's not doing anything for them.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the reasons why I think we need to make a very earnest effort to get those two building projects up and running so that, you know, people will in the outlying areas will also see that, you know, they're not forgotten.
Absolutely.
Yeah, or at least get a start on it so you're making progress.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's a good point, because then we're not they're not saying, well, this is just for DeRidder. What's in it for me?
Right.
Yeah.
Or y'all been talking about this for 10 years and you hadn't moved on it.
You know? Yes.
Or Singer is a newer project, because their building has been functional more recently than East Bow. But East Bow's got to be, what, 7 or 8 years we haven't had a, or has it been less than that?
I think it's 9.
Okay.
I think this is 9 years this
year. Seems like it's been forever, and I'm sure it does to the people that live out that way.
And I still hear from them, you know, when are y'all coming back? We want you back. When are y'all going to be out here? Whenever we were at the Watermelon Festival with our booth there, I was talking to a couple of people from East Beauregard who are really excited to hear that we're working on it again and it's not just sitting. So yeah. I think that is, I think that's promising. I think if we can get something visible going on as far as work goes, you know, get some of the dirt work started, put down the cement pads that we need to put down.
Right.
That sort of thing, it would go a long way. So that's one of the reasons I didn't want us to wait until our next board meeting to be able to move to the next step and the next step.
No, we need to keep moving.
Let's keep it going, absolutely.
Yeah. Is there, would it be very expensive to put up one of those future site of Beauregard Public Library out there?
I don't know. I mean, we had a like a banner style one on that chain link fence that's at the front of the property. It's not there anymore. The hurricanes took care of that. But I think it would be, I mean, it can't be that expensive to do it.
Yeah, what I see some companies doing is just, you know, like some sort of a scaffolding, 2x4s. Of course, 2x4s are expensive these days, but, you know, like 2x4s with a big banner thing on it, you know, something.
Yeah,
it would probably be worth it. It can't be that expensive.
Yeah, that might be worth just let people know. I'm sure Lynn is tired of saying it's going to happen. It's going to happen.
Yes.
I think that's a good idea to have a sign there, because you always wonder what's going on there.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, then I'll look at doing that.
Okay. The next thing we've got is item D, fine free pilot update. Ah, yes.
Yeah, this, I probably shouldn't have called it an update, because that's a little lofty for what I sent you. excuse me. So what I sent you shows the number of items that were overdue and the dollar amount that we assessed of those overdue fines versus what we actually collected. And then in the far side of that spreadsheet, it tells you the number of items that just weren't returned at all. So they went past being overdue and are considered lost. And I know that says lost, not paid. The point is to get them paid for at some point, but we just call them LNPs. So it's kind of a misnomer. Sorry about that. Something to note is that the amount collected, the dollar value collected, does not fall in that same time frame of the row it's on. We're following the items that were in that time frame. So just because something was declared lost in the second quarter of 2020, if it was then paid for in the first quarter of 2021, that number's still showing in the 2020 second quarter line. So it's following the items as far as the amount collected. All that to say, I do want to look at this in a larger picture and provide you guys with a larger picture when the year is over, when I've had a full year of, well, hopefully kind of sort of normal activity in the library.
Good luck.
So that we can compare that, because what I'm showing you here is kind of the progression of items that were overdue becoming items that were considered lost, and then what kind of money we recouped through that process. But there's more to look at to get the big picture of that. We also need to look at how many total items were checked out. You know, what's the ratio of total physical item circulation versus the items that were lost or overdue or whatever. So we do need a bigger picture than what I gave you here, which occurred to me after I sent you guys this, so sorry. But I do want to give you that bigger picture when we've got a full year's worth of data to look at. And 2020 data, I mean, I included it here, but it's kind of useless considering how bizarre 2020 was.
Yeah.
Apart from the first quarter of 2020, none of that year was normal for us. And even the first quarter wasn't totally normal because it was early March when we started closing down. Mm-hmm. So kind of just look at that as a for your information at this point, I suppose.
Okay, moving on to the new logo unveiling.
Yeah, so in your packet, I know that report Julie gave me that I sent to you had the three different logo options on it. We concluded voting on July 26th or 7th, and the third icon on your page, the one called the B map icon, is the one that won at 52% of the vote. So that's going to be our new logo with the Find It Here tag. I'm really excited about the Find It Here tag. I think that's pretty versatile.
And that was the reason for that was we had a whole conversation in that committee about back to what Joe said earlier. People don't realize what the library can do for you, you know, and they're driving past the library every day and saying, "Gee, I really could use X," and X is right there in the library. It's a resource. And so that theme allows you to do so much to speak to that issue. Yeah. That hey, we got it. We got you covered.
I was speaking with our marketing and PR consultant, Heather, earlier today, and she was kind of starting to throw ideas out as to how to roll out the logo. And one of the ideas she has that I think is great, and we're going to work on more, is to do basically a year-long campaign of 12 distinct month-long campaigns where you choose one big picture resource or service from the library, and that's what you promote that month. Mm-hmm. If we can get some radio ads going with it, you know, maybe some television ads, put it in the newspapers, put it all over social media, do whatever we can with it, so that it's a cohesive message for a month at a time, mm-hmm. but all this, that there's this overarching Find It Here message for the whole year. So we're gonna kind of get together and try to figure out what those 12 big ideas are that we wanna go with. And I'm gonna try to organize them in such a way that, especially those first 6 months, cause we're hoping to start this in September or October, those first 6 months aren't just talking to the existing library users.
Right.
So that message of bringing in more people, or at least letting them see our value, gets out there before we're at the polls.
Right.
I'd like to talk to the colors for a minute. You may wonder at the colors chosen. And we had started out with primary colors and then came to realize they looked an awful lot like the hospital system's colors. I mean, just the fact that it would have blue in it kind of started looking like it was part of the hospital group. And that's why, but we had told her to put things together with primary colors. Then one of staff said, is there a reason we can't be using secondary colors? And that's when these started popping.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's the reason there's nothing in town that has, or nothing in the parish that is using those kind of colors.
Well, that's good. Mm-hmm. So it's unique.
Yes.
So can the board approve that logo choice?
Yes. So yes, there was some nail biting about what the board would like. So I will entertain a motion to accept the new logo.
I so move.
I have a motion to accept the new logo.
I'll second that.
And I have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
And opposed. And why do I also have the website committee on this and I don't?
Yeah, before we move to the anniversary thing, now that we've got a new logo,
yeah,
I want to get rolling on a new website as well.
Yeah.
So we're going to have a committee work on that. Obviously, the IT department will take part in that committee, but I would like some board representation on it as well. So are any of you interested in being on that committee?
So you're not hiring somebody to redo the website?
We are. One of the things the board is, not the board, I'm sorry, the committee is going to determine is whether we are hiring a designer to come in and design, and then we will continue to host here, or if we're going to hire a larger company to not only design it, but then host it and maintain it. So that's something that needs to be determined. But we are hiring someone from outside to come in and give us fresh perspective and more up-to-date skills on that.
So is there anybody in this group that would like to be part of this committee? Oh, don't clamor for to be come up first.
Well, I don't mind helping on it, but my time that I can meet is kind of limited. I can't meet during the day very well. It'd have to be late afternoon or in the evening, so I don't want to keep them from I don't want to be a hold up.
Okay. I'm obviously retired and can do it. I just, if one of you has a particular interest, I know Joe would have a particular interest, I'd like you to take it on. Otherwise, I'll do it. I'll be there.
Okay.
This is deafening.
All right. So Angela.
Is anybody stepped back one? So therefore, I'm standing up front.
And so we're open late on Thursdays, Joe. Do you usually, if they were able to do the Thursday evening meetings, would that work for you?
Probably so. Yeah, I can. The latest I work, I can be at the library by a little bit after six. And two weeks out of the month, I go in early and I'm off by four. So I could meet as early as 4:30. Mm-hmm. It's just a little, it changes. So, yeah. But I can give it a try.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, then I'll put Joe down for that. And if for whatever reason it doesn't work, we'll see if Angela wants to pinch hit.
Okay.
Yeah, we can do that. That'd be great. Thank you, Joe.
You're welcome.
Okay, so we move on to, yeah, the 75th anniversary committee update.
Okay, let me get to my right page here.
I'm going to step away for a minute. I have something on my printer that I've got to grab real quick.
Okay, so we've got, Julie was running this committee for us as well. So we've got a report that she provided for us, and it kind of talks through some of the events that they're planning to get us rolling into next year with our 75th anniversary celebration. We did want to start a few months early, so kind of October, November frame at the end of this year to get things rolling, and then do a bigger kickoff event in January of next year. But some of the things that they've come up with, we're going to do a art contest for students within the parish, different levels for the different age groups in there, with a theme of 75 years and beyond. We're talking to the schools to try and get the stuff distributed through them to the students. And of course, we'll make overtures towards the homeschooling communities and some of the church schools, the private schools around here too, to see if they want to participate. Get those back in September and have some voting from the public on the winners of each of those different grade levels. And we want to incorporate that into our fair booth at the fair in October, keeping our fingers crossed the fair happens this year. Right now it is planned to go forward. So that's part of what we want to do for that. Some of the other things that they are wanting to do before the end of this year includes buying some spine labels, custom spine labels, using not only our new logo, but also incorporating that 75th anniversary message on it, so that every physical item we buy for the collection in 2022 has that sticker on it. That's something that the library did when they hit their 50th anniversary.
I remember that.
And I thought that was a really cool idea.
Yeah.
And every now and then you can still walk through the shelves and find a
sticker.
So those must be the really popular books to hang around this long. But we want to do that. And it's wanting to buy the bulk content of what we need to do that throughout the year, and have it ready to go probably around November or December, start doing it so that we're rolling into 2022 with that in place. We're looking at, like I said, we want to do some kind of big kickoff event in January. The committee's still working on what exactly that will look like or what it will be. But obviously, if we want to do it in January, we're going to need to be preparing for it at the end of this year. So with all that in mind, I do in your packet have a proposed amendment to this year's budget to basically put a new designated fund in there for 75th anniversary promotion, funded at $10,000, and that $10,000 is coming from the Building and Asset Repair and Replacement Fund. If we do that, then the new budget would have the Building and Asset Repair and Replacement Fund at $2,539,773 budgeted for this year, and the 75th anniversary promotion obviously budgeted at $10,000. So if that's something y'all are okay with, then we would need to vote on that. But I wanted to put that out there to you guys. That's not the total amount for the thing. That's the 2021 funds. So this will be, you will be seeing this again for 2022.
So you think you need 10,000 between now and the end of the year?
That's what the committee has asked me for, yes.
Yeah, to cover printing costs, prizes for the kids, you know, all of that. We did think that $10,000 is probably what we're going to need. Yep. Yeah. I'm on the committee, and I tell you frankly, I think it's going to be money well spent in that, you know, we're we've got to put our face out there in order for the taxing public to be aware of us.
So, I move that we adjust the amend the budget to reflect that new line item.
I thank you. I have a motion to expand the budget to have a $10,000 line item for the 75th anniversary expenses. Do I have a second?
Second.
Do I have any discussion? Then all in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you.
Erin, do you know anyone that would be able to give you a sort of a personal history of the library that might could be run in the newspaper in segments about maybe even things the library did in the way of innovation over time and how they've reached out to the community?
I can cover about 50 years. going back beyond that might be a little difficult, but I can certainly look into it.
I mean, maybe your PR person can find something in the archives, you know, what they started with and then what they added. I mean, we've gotten to the point now where we have laptops and hotspots people can check out. Those weren't even thought of, you know.
Yeah, and when we started, we were in a room in someone's personal residence.
Right. So that might be another way to, you know, if y'all would write the article and then the paper can run it, it might be something that it's just another way of having, especially with it being the 75th anniversary.
Yeah.
You kind of are looking back.
We would love your ideas. I mean, we're talking about things like having Vince LeBoux and company talk about, you know, famous people from Drew Ritter, you know, all that sort of thing. So we're throwing out all kinds of ideas of getting people involved, mm-hmm. And also, you know, getting new people involved, really, and just trying to beat the bushes and get some excitement going.
Right.
I mean, things like we've had fun with it because we've even talked about how about the library staff dress like different eras of the 75 years of serving, you know, the library, serving the public, you know, just different things.
Yeah.
Like
that. Yeah. So
we're going to have fun with it.
Good.
We also do things like for the paper interview, not just one time, but several times within the year, maybe like Miss Patricia Holmes, you know, she worked for us for many years and her mm-hmm. perspective on how it changed from beginning to her retirement, things like that.
Great idea. Yeah. There you go. That's a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, we also had the bright idea to have Erin go to all of the local organizations and talk about that.
Yeah. And she loves public speaking.
Oh, yes.
May not be great.
You would have something new to talk about, not just what we're doing for you today,
right?
But just, you know, put together a whole PowerPoint presentation and she can just show it to the different groups. You know, just, I mean, we're throwing out everything we can think of to get out to the public.
I heard y'all also had an idea of maybe asking the mayors, DeRitter and Maryville, and the police jury to do a proclamation for the library 75th anniversary sometime next year. So I think that would be nice.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You want the people to have buy-in and feel like it's important to them.
Right.
Yeah. So that they'll vote yes.
Yeah. You got it.
Yeah. So we can all get a raise, right? Right.
Okay, where are we? So that's that. And so we have, is there anything further on the 75th anniversary, Erin?
No, I think that takes us to our added item for the mask mandate discussion.
Okay, so item G that we added is the governor's mask mandate.
Yeah. So today he announced that he is reverting back to a statewide mask mandate, regardless of vaccination status, for anyone 5 years of age or older when they're inside and in public. It's effective Wednesday. They are also recommending, per the CDC guidelines, that anyone from ages 2 to 4 mask up as well, but the requirement is ages 5 and up. So starting Wednesday, we're going back to requiring masks for everyone who was in the library. I wanted to make sure and let you guys know that that is coming back, because a lot of our patrons aren't happy when we have mask mandates. Our staff gets a lot of pushback, which is honestly, that's why I waited until we had a state mandate to go back to it, because I knew my frontline staff would probably get hammered otherwise. So we're looking forward to that. Well, that's a lie. We're not looking forward to it, no. But hopefully
about using your security person a little bit more aggressively at the front entrance there. So that the ladies at the desk don't have to take the whole front.
You know. Do you have a little supply of masks to, if they say, well, I don't have mine or I forgot.
We do. We kind of pulled back towards the end of the last part of the last mask mandate on offering that, because it's expensive.
Yeah.
Spent a whole lot of money on masks and PPE in general, 2020 and early 2021. So we kind of pulled back on it, but we do have a supply of just the disposable ones that we will offer if someone truly doesn't have one with them. We also are going to go back, well, we never stopped, but we're also going to continue advertising that anyone who can't or won't wear a mask can call us and ask for curbside service. Mm-hmm. They want to reserve something and come pick it up. We'll take it out to them, that kind of stuff. Of course, the virtual services, digital resources and stuff are still there and able to access those. But
I don't remember, but do you have that posted on the door? That might not be a bad idea.
What, the services?
I don't know
No, curbside service, so that if they're walking to the door, they can read and say, I don't have a mask, I'll call them.
Yeah.
Or say, sit here on the bench and call us, and we'll bring it out to you or something. Yeah.
Right. So we're going to do that starting Wednesday. I'm actually starting tomorrow with staff, but for the patrons, we're starting Wednesday. Mm-hmm. To go along with that, I'm also going to further reduce the number of seats we have available for in-person programs so that we can do more social distancing. We had kind of started letting it, you know, getting mm-hmm. sibling groups, you know, letting them in, that sort of thing. But we're going to kind of cut back on that as well. For the time being, I'm just going to cancel any programs that are aged at kids 4 and under. Since they can't mask and they can't vaccinate.
Right.
The timing on that kind of works for us, because August is usually our no or low program numbers, because we take the time off after we just finished SRP. That's when a lot of programming coordinators take a vacation and get some time off. So we usually don't do story time and stuff like that in August anyway. In addition to that, we are going back to shutting down every other workstation in the computer labs for social distancing purposes. I don't think that is really going to impact our numbers on lab usage right now. It's been a long time since I've walked out and seen the lab truly full. You know, they might prefer to sit next to each other, but they haven't filled up the lab in a long time. So I think we'll be okay there. And
Can't they check out a laptop and use it in the facility too?
Absolutely. That's where I was going with that. We still have the laptops available if they want to check those out. So that's
when I try to put a positive spin on it. If you want to run something in the paper or put a sign on the door and say, hey, we're doing our part to try to keep everybody well and healthy. And I know some of you think it's an inconvenience, but please bear with us. Well, you know, instead of, oh, we got a mask again, you know, try to put a better spin on it, on why.
Yeah.
It's important.
Okay. So that was what I wanted to share with y'all regarding today's notice from the governor.
Okay. Thank you. Okay. Moving on to reports.
Okay. So I've got a an out of the ordinary report for you this time. I wanted to give you guys a quick rundown on how we have and will be using the various federal funds that have come through since last year. You guys probably remember we had about $6,700 come through from the CARES Act funds by way of the state library. So, excuse me. We used those to purchase some Chromebooks to add to our, to add to our circulation for patrons. They were back ordered for quite a while, but they have come in. We used the rest of the funds to partially pay for the new Hoopla service that has ebooks, digital audiobooks, downloadable TV shows, movies, music, and comic books. So we did that during the stay-at-home orders so we could continue to serve people, at least virtually. So this year we received $47,000 from American Rescue Plan Act funds, again, by way of the state library. We talked to several partners throughout the parish to work with them. We are buying 11 benches, like park bench style benches, that have a solar power charger built in. We're going to spread those around the parish, and we are looking at also using funds from the Emergency Connectivity Fund to buy hotspots dedicated to those solar benches, so that not only if we have another issue with the pandemic where everything has to shut down and there are no publicly accessible buildings, or if another hurricane comes through and most people are without power or internet, there are at least these spots throughout the parish where they can go and get a little charge on their device and access the Wi-Fi hotspot we've put there to
a great idea.
Stay informed of what's going on, or touch base with mom on the other side of the country and let her know, hey, I'm still okay, you know, whatever they need to do. So we're really excited about that. We're working with the city of DeRidder to put them at several parks around town. We're working with the town of Maryville to get some out there. We're working with the sheriff's office to get some at his rural substations. He wants one at Ragley, Maryville, and when he gets an East Beauregard place, he wants one out there too. And we are working with the South Beauregard Recreation District to get some out at the, we're gonna try to put it at the playground that is at the same facility as their big ball fields. So that when parents are out there with their kids, whether it's for a ball game or letting the kids play on the playground, you know, if they need to top up their charge while they're sitting there, they can do that. Or if it is in one of those emergency situations, they can, you know, the kids can play while mom's doing what she needs to do.
Erin, can you describe what the bench looks like? Is it big enough for like two people and has a back and armrest, and how many chargers?
It does have a back to it. I don't think there are armrests on it. It's not super wide. Two people could fit on it. They'd probably want to know each other, but two people could sit on it. If I remember correctly, it's got three or four USB chargers on it, okay, and two 12 volt chargers on it. It's just a, with like the long slats style traditional park bench kind of thing with no arms. There is a pole at one end with a panel, a solar panel at the top, and then a battery at the base of the bench at the back that it.
And then where are all the ports? Are there some on either end or all on one pole, or do you know?
I think they're kind of spread across.
Okay, good.
So we're looking forward to that. On the pole, there's a little spot for like a pendant flag hanger kind of thing. So we're going to order some little flags that say something along the lines of brought to you by Beauregard Parish Library or something like that. We spoke to the supplier for these not too long ago. And like everyone else in the parish, they're having issues with their supply chain. But he's expecting to have it to us by the end of August or the early September. So when those come in,
well, that would be a wonderful thing to publicize as being a benefit for the community. The library's promoting, providing. Yeah.
Yeah. And all of the partners we approached to see if they wanted to work with us on it, they're all really excited about it and looking forward to it.
Yeah.
So anyway, back to my list. I got distracted. I'm sorry. We're also using those funds to buy some sterilizing sprayers, just to kind of help us keep our keyboards and mice and high touch surfaces a little more sanitary throughout the day. We're ordering one for each of the branches. And of course they're getting cleaned, every day at closing, but this doesn't leave a residue. So it's kind of, you can be used as a quick touch up kind of thing between patron uses if we need to, if we're having a really busy day or something. So we're going to try that. We did buy more Chromebooks to add to the circulating thing and filters for all of those Chromebooks. We do need a new printer in the IT department. So that's part of where, less than $1,000 is going to that. And then the rest of the funds we're putting towards updating the website, making it more user-friendly, more intuitive, and more modern, so that information is more easily accessed. So that's where we're at.
What is a Chromebook? Is that like an iPad?
A Chromebook is, it's a laptop, but it only works when it's connected to the internet. It's Google-based. It's the Google Chrome connection is where Chromebook comes from, but it won't put like Microsoft Office on it. You wouldn't have that. You would be able to use Google Docs or Google Sheets or whatever, but it's totally internet based. You can't put any other software on the laptop itself.
But it's like a little computer and like a laptop instead of an iPad. You won't be touching the screen. Is that right?
It's a laptop style. So you would have a keyboard.
Okay. It looks just like a laptop. It's just not, it just doesn't accept a Microsoft Word or
right
Excel.
So would these be taking the place of the laptops you had in the library for people to check out and use?
These are the ones that are going to check out and go home with people for a week.
Okay.
Because we were using the laptops we had received from the state library through the BTOP grant, however many years ago, they were outdated. We really needed to update them. So we decided to give the Chromebooks a try. It's a very different model than what we're used to because it is all internet-based. And to use it to its fullest potential, the patron would need to have an account with Google, a Gmail account or something like that. A lot of people do, but not everyone does. So that, now you can still use it as a guest login and access things, but you get a fuller, more rounded experience as a logged in user. So.
But being that they don't have any, kind of Word programs, anything like that, it wouldn't be maybe that helpful for students or anybody that was trying to type a paper. They couldn't do that.
You've still got access to Google Docs.
Okay.
And at least the schools here are very heavily using Google. They use Google Classroom and everything else. So
okay, good.
If the K-12 students around here would be familiar with that.
Okay, good.
Okay, we move on to, I forgot what our next, you've got the statistical and the financial statistical and circulation reports.
Yeah, honestly, not a whole lot to comment on that. I sent the reports to you. We're in a good space there. We actually received more ad valorem income than we had anticipated this year. I assume someone paid some back taxes or something, and that's where that came from. We also, with that $47,000 from the ARPA funds, our gifts and grants number is much higher than we had anticipated. So we're well set as far as income goes. I think we can probably safely assume that our interest income is not going to go where I had budgeted us. But regardless, we're still above where we expected to be. As far as the expenses go, we're on track with everything. As far as where I expect to be this far in the year, our intergovernmental expense was a little higher than expected, but it's a one-time thing. That's not going to grow between now and the end of the year. So we are also, we're well set as far as our finances go.
Any questions on any of the reports?
I did want to point out regarding the activities report that was in your packet, towards the bottom, it talks about the summer reading program numbers. Of course, those aren't the final numbers because we ended it over this past weekend. But I think we had a decent turnout considering everything that's going on as far as our summer reading program goes. So those numbers are not amazing, but they're good. And then down in the miscellaneous section, I wanted to point out that last bullet point there in particular. Earlier in the year, we had talked about finding an opportunity for the staff to do some staff training. And the ARSL, the Association for Rural and Small Libraries Conference, is having a virtual component this year, like they did last year. Last year, we had about 10 of our staff attend that, really had a good time, learned a lot. The ARSL conference is known for focusing more on the practical side of things as opposed to the theoretical or the philosophy behind it, which is sometimes what you get at some of the larger conferences. So the ARSL conference tends to be really, it's more enjoyed by a lot of library staff. So this year, whenever we saw that they were doing a virtual component and it's just $75 a person to attend, we're going to close for a day and a half at the end of October and let our staff attend this virtual conference. So I'm excited about that. And I think they are too, or they're getting there anyway. It's still a little ways off, but it looks like it'll be a good conference. So I'm excited about that.
Good. There's not anything on there that would have any sort of segment for trustees, huh?
Well, go back and look. There might be one or two. Actually, I'll send you guys the URL for the schedule, and you can look at it and let me know if it's something you want to attend or not.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. It is time to get to the director's evaluation. So at this point, we go into executive session.
Do we have a motion?
Do you need a motion to do that?
Yeah, we need one.
So,
okay, I move that we go into executive session.
Thank you. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Lynn seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Okay, and you've done away with the laptop and the. Okay, first I will entertain a motion to change the salary scale to what we discussed in executive session. Do I have a motion to that effect?
I so move.
I second that.
So Lynn moves and Joe seconds. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Thank you. And now I'll entertain a motion to increase Aaron's salary according to this newly revised scale. All in favor?
Aye.
Oh, wait. I need a motion, don't I? That's what I was entertaining a motion. Sorry.
So I so moved that we award Erin the increase.
All right. So Erin, so I mean Joe so moves, and do I have a second?
I do.
And Molly seconds, all in favor?
Opposed.
Thank you very much. So do we have any further business to transact?
I think that was it.
So you're going to be calling us on, you're going to be setting up a meeting for Lynn and I to look at plans further as they become available.
Right.
That would be the next, and do you need anything signed that I should come by, Erin?
Yes, please. Could you come by one day this week before Friday?
Yes.
Okay. Just let me know what works for you. I think I'm around the office all week.
Okay.
And I'd like to bring those contracts back to Lake Charles on Friday, so that would be good.
Okay. Will do. I'll text you when I'm in hovering around the library. All right. Entertain a motion for adjournment.
I so move.
Beth so moves. Second.
Second.
I think that was Joe. Yes, Joe saying yes. All in favor?
Aye.
And I. Thank you very much, everyone, for
good meeting,
for attending, and thank you, Erin, for being organized with these and to make the most of best use of our time. And I know this runs a little long, ladies, but we don't do it too often, so we always have full agendas.
Right.
So thank you very much for serving and for helping in every way that you do. Good night.
Go library.
More money.
All right. Really appreciate it.
Good night, everybody.
Thank you. Thanks. Okay.
Bye. Bye-bye.